Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's from 2 Corinthians 3. The Spirit of the living God is with us today. And today we enjoy the freedom that we can only know in Christ. But wait, there's more. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. One of my earliest memories of going to church with some of my extended family was a conversation after church about the preacher's bald head. I had a rather judgmental family member who talked a lot about how the preacher should have powdered his head because it was just too shiny. And as a teenager, though, it made me wonder. There was nothing in the conversation about God or Jesus or grace or life together in Christ, just the preacher's bald head. And maybe that is the background for why I grew so fond of a particular prayer slash poem that I read years ago that, you know how some stuff, whenever you read it, it just sticks with you and it won't go away? This is one of those things. It's written by a man who is a poet slash preacher slash poet, and he writes these things that he calls prayers, and they are prayers, but they're really poems. Anyway, this is one of my favorites, and I wish I could put it this great, but I can't, so here it is. It's a prayer slash poem, and it's called The Bald Head. For an hour it was before my eyes. During the whole lecture, that was a fine dome, Lord. Polished, shining, girdled with a horseshoe of hair, carefully arranged and sternly held to the pattern prescribed. The lecture bored me. I had time to think. And I thought, Lord, that You knew this dome well. It hasn't been out of Your sight for years, and every day You say yes when old Mother Nature asks permission to take a few hairs more from the rapidly clearing field. You said it in Your gospel. Not one hair of Your head falls without My permission. It is true, Lord, that You are always thinking of us. It's true. From the beginning of time, before we existed, even before the world existed, You have been dreaming of me, thinking of me, loving me. And it's true that Your love created me, not on an assembly line, but unique. The first one so made, and the last, indispensable to humanity. It's true, Lord, that You have conceived for my life a unique destiny. It's true that You have an eternal plan for me alone, a wonderful plan that You've always cherished in Your heart as a father thinks over the smallest details in the life of his little one still unborn. It's true that always bending over me, You guide me to bring Your plan about, light on my path and strength for my soul. It's true that You are saddened when I stray or run away, but that You hasten to pick me up if I stumble or fall. Lord, You who make bald heads, but above all, beautiful lives. You, the divine attentive one, the divine patient one, the divine present one. See that at no time I forget your presence. I don't ask you to bless what I myself have decided to do, but give me the grace to discover and to live what you have dreamed for me. Lord, living in your grace, let me share a little through the attention I give others, your loving care for us. Let me, on my knees, adore in them the mystery of your creative love. Let me respect your idea of them without trying to impose my own. May I allow them to follow the path that you have marked out for them without trying to take them along mine. May I realize that they are indispensable to the world and that I can't do without the least among them. May I never tire of looking at them and of enriching myself with the treasures you have entrusted to them. Help me to praise you in their journeying, to find you in their lives. Grant that not an instant of their existence go by, not a hair of their heads fall. By me, as by you, unheeded. You know the blessing from early on? The original one? It starts like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. And then there's this other great line. The Lord make His face shine upon you. I wonder sometimes if this is a reference to God handing down to us through Moses some of the early basic commands in the presence of God. It's because you know what happened whenever Moses came out of the presence of God and went and stood among the people? It was because he had received this blessing from God. The Lord's face shone upon him. And then, what did Moses do? He walked out to the people of God, and his face was a reflection of the shining face of God. And I wonder if for all the things that we do in the name of Jesus, as devotees of Jesus, as followers of Jesus in our daily lives, how often do we put as first priority coming out of the presence of God and just going and shining the face of God, just reflecting the shining face of God out to everyone we come in contact with, everyone we meet? What is the mission of the church? Go reflect the shining face of God. What is the work of the church? Go reflect the shining face of God. Yeah, but don't we have a lot of other things to do? Sure. But go reflect the shining face of God. Not with veiled faces. Worst thing we can do in the life of the church is keep all this a secret. Keep it to ourselves. No, no, no. That was never intended to be the case. But we're tempted to do it sometimes. Because I kind of like what we have going in here on Sunday mornings. This is a good thing. I like it. I like it a lot. But man, even something like this can become an idol in a hurry if we're not careful. We come in here and we celebrate and we kind of like each other and we like the things we say and we like the things we sing and all of these things, but then we go back out into the world and we have veiled faces. No, no, no. This place is the one supposed to light you up, shine your face, then go back out into the world, reflect the glory of God. You know all that stuff, speaking of Moses, about thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder. You've heard those things before, right? We don't do those things. We don't steal. We don't murder. Because those things do not reflect the creative power of God. It's not just because, well, you're not supposed to do them. It's because they don't reflect the creative power of God. Love God, love your neighbor, on the other hand, does. Here are things as followers of God we don't do. Here are things that we do. The things we don't do don't reflect the creative power of God. The things we do, we come in here and we love God together. We love one another. We go out into the world as those with shining, bright, shiny faces to reflect the glory of God, because the whole love God, love your neighbor thing reflects the glory of God. So you've heard the ending of 2 Corinthians 3. Now for the whole story. Here's 2 Corinthians 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Surely we do not need, as some do, letters of recommendations to you or from you, do we? Obviously, there was something going on in Corinth we don't know about. He's addressing something that sounds like, you want to come to this church? Did you remember to bring your references? That sounds like what's going on. I don't know if that's what it is, but it sure sounds like it. But then, 3:2, you yourselves are our letter written on our hearts to be known and read by all, and you show that you are a letter of Christ prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Isn't that a beautiful image? This is one of those passages that even for the times when it doesn't make very much sense, it's good to read slowly. Just soak in these images. Such is the confidence that we have known through Christ toward God. Those of you who grew up going to church, telling people that you're a Christian, all that stuff, how much of your Christian life have you been able to walk around in confidence in Christ? Confidence in God. Not arrogance, mind you, but confidence in God, in the work of Christ. And he corrects that. Not that we are competent of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our competence is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of a letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stone tablets, came in glory, so that the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, much more does the ministry of justification abound in glory. Indeed, what once had glory has lost its glory because of the greater glory. For if what was set aside came through glory, much more has the permanent come in glory. You with him so far? Because I'm not. That's where he lost me. What are you talking about? This glory was there, this glory got lost, but now there's... That's kind of just Paul being Paul. And I think he knows that was kind of a all over the place idea. And that's why he responds to himself. And that's why he says my very favorite word in Scripture. And it almost always comes right after something is said in Scripture where you have the potential to get lost or confused. You ever do that? When you're reading Scripture, you ever get lost? You ever get confused? You ever sit there reading and then all of a sudden you're thinking about the roast in the oven, or what are we going to have for dinner tomorrow? And then you realize, oh, I'm not reading Scripture anymore. I'm thinking about the dog. Don't worry, you're in good company. It happens to all of us. That's why the best word in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:12, and it's in a lot of other places too, but here's where it is, therefore. Oh, isn't that a beautiful word? It's one of those corrective words that says, when you get lost, okay, let's talk about what I'm really trying to say here. Therefore, since we have such hope, we act with great boldness. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil, still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. That's a fancy theological way of saying, when you hear some passages of Scripture and you feel confused, it's because some of it's confusing. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. So, we are, as we've said the last few weeks, and all summer for that matter, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We said that all summer long. And it's perfect timing that yesterday was supposed to be the last day in the 90s. That means the summer is over. Can I get an amen? So, since the temple of the Holy Spirit, that's us. We've heard that all summer. What if we take 2 Corinthians 3 seriously? That we make this day, this reading, a marker to say, all right, let's take this seriously. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, bigger than any physical temple. That our life together also, as living Scripture, is testimony of God's work among us. You see, did you hear the image? Did you see it? What was going on in 2 Corinthians 3? Where he just comes out and says that we are the letter of Christ being written even as we go. Isn't that a great image? So all summer long, we read 1 Corinthians, and we're still reading, and we'll keep reading until Advent, 2 Corinthians. But guess what? There is a 3 Corinthians, and it's still being written. Have you ever read it? You have. We've already read it this morning. We've been reading it for the last week, and we're going to keep reading it this coming week, this letter of Christ written on human hearts. I'm a huge fan of Scripture, big time. You don't go do a bachelor's degree in Greek unless you like this stuff. I love it. Big fan of Scripture. But when we solidify any Scripture and use it to tear down, we miss the intent of 1 and 2 Corinthians, especially that key teaching of love builds up, and we miss out on the opportunity to read together 3 Corinthians, to get to be together 3 Corinthians. You remember reading 3 Corinthians last week? Well, if you don't, here's what it looked like. And it wasn't just last week. I'm using that as sort of a an ideal. But it goes back even further than last week. We've been doing this whole 3 Corinthians thing all summer, but especially for the last few months. We might even call it the bright, shiny faces of bearing. The faces that have reflected the glory of God. I've seen a lot of 3 Corinthians in the last few weeks. A lot of shiny faces at bearing. And it's been wonderful. It's been in some horrible circumstances and some absolutely beautiful circumstances. Ones that were hard, ones that were really nice, ones that give us hope for the future, ones that make us sad about the past, moments where we take any given moment and wonder where God is and where meaning is. But in all of these things, 3 Corinthians, the bright, shiny faces of bearing. I saw it a few days after we started coming out of our houses and we were at the Pybuses, the Fullers, the Burtons, Joe and Jean Worley's house, doing hard work. But there, working along, were the bright, shiny faces of bearing, reflecting the glory of God. Yesterday afternoon, at 4:35, we came in here, turned on the lights. I made sure at lunchtime yesterday that the air conditioner was turned on so we weren't too terribly sweaty. Came in here at 4:35, grabbed this pulpit. It's heavy, by the way. It doesn't look like much, but it's kind of heavy. Picked it up, put it back here. And I stood right here, and Sharon Rim stood right here, and Phil Gray, y'all know Phil stood right here, and we started by talking about old ancient blessings, words like, the Lord bless you and keep you. Words like, the Lord make His face shine upon you. Just the three of us standing right here in this great big empty room. But it was a holy moment. Holy moment where the bright shiny face of God shone upon us and reflected the glory of God. Earlier yesterday, some of us were down the hall in the parlor, or not in the parlor, in the library conference room, and we met with Miriam Upton, who works with Centerpiece, with Sally Gary. And there were, what, 8, 9 of us sitting around the table, asking questions, brainstorming, getting ready to launch a support group for the Houston metro area, for parents with gay, lesbian children, LGBT. And it was good work. It was work together that said, no matter where you happen to be on the spectrum of belief, there is work to be done. And there are opportunities for us as bearing, to reflect the glory of God from this place, even as we go out. Also yesterday, a group gathered over at Christian Community Service Center because there's still work to be done after Harvey. And there, on a Saturday morning, when it was hot, there were reflections of the glory of God. Go home this morning, this afternoon, after lunch, whenever, and go look in the mirror. Everybody have a mirror at home? Go home and look in the mirror. Let me tell you what you're going to see. You may be tempted to look in the mirror, and the first thing that you notice is a blemish. Maybe a hair that's out of place for some of you. A wrinkle here and there. What the world kind of conditions us to see when we look in the mirror as imperfections. You ever do that? You ever look in the mirror and see imperfections? Not today. Today, when you go home and look in the mirror, what you're going to see is the glory of God. You're going to see the glory of God. Each and every one of us. And all of us with unveiled faces. Seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, or being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. I love, love, love your bright, shiny faces. I can't imagine how many adoring husbands look into the eyes of his wife and might say something like, I wish that you could see yourself the way I see you. And I think that God, in all of His glory, looks at our body of Christ gathered here this morning and says, I wish you could see yourself, this particular body of Christ, the way I see you. A reflection of the very glory of God. And so, God, we give thanks to you today. We give thanks that you reveal your glory. Even if we look at ourselves and see imperfections, we thank you for shining your face upon us and using us, even us, to reflect your glory. Thank you for choosing us for this work, for this ministry, for this reflection. And let all of God's people, with our faces shining, reflecting the Spirit of the living God, let all of God's people say, Amen.